Welcome back to the Food Trainers Podcast. It's us again.
Episode 9.
Yes. So today we are talking about exercise, and we are not exercise experts, but nothing bugs us more than clients who come in with nutrition plans from their trainers. It's a personal food trainer's pet peeve. And so if clients ask us in-depth exercise questions, we're the first to say that is completely out of our domain. We really like to say we know what we're good at and keep it at that. But we are asked exercise questions often, and exercise especially related to food. And so we do give a little bit of broad sweeping advice, and we thought we would spill our week workout beans here today.
Yeah, I think there's definitely an overlap between exercise and food. And so we'll give it to you a little bit from the food perspective. And the first, so we'll go through a few frequently asked questions. The first being, should you eat before you work out? Which is one that we get a lot. And as much as I hate a hedge for an answer, with this one, it really does depend. So two scenarios, three scenarios. If your number one goal is exercise performance, if you're training for a race or doing a competitive sport, then the answer is undeniably yes, eat before exercise. If your goal is changing your body composition, losing weight, getting leaner, our answer is that it's better to exercise on empty or in a fasted state. If you do that, if you sort of wake up and exercise without having eaten, you'll lose more of your body fat to fuel your workout. The third scenario would be if you are somebody who wants to change your body composition, but working out on empty leaves you woozy or weak, unable to complete your workout, of course we want you to eat. We're not pro-fainting for any of our purposes. So have a handful of berries or nuts, a little bit of yogurt to give you energy. And I would also say, and we'll sort of explain this a little more as we go on, be open to this changing. Sometimes people will say, when I lift, I need to, have something, or if my workout is a super long one, then I need to eat first. So sometimes you might need it and sometimes you might not.
Yeah, absolutely. And so on that note, relatedly, many clients say on the days I work out, I am famished all day after. And this could be due to a couple of things. We see this when clients are new to exercising or to a particular type of exercising and just jump right in. And if that's the case, this initial hunger tends to subside once your body sort of acclimates to the new movement. And more common though, the bigger issue we see most of the time is waiting too long after working out to eat something. So let's say you do, as Lauren suggested before, exercise on empty. Exercise will lower your blood sugar. And while this is actually a good thing and one of the reasons why exercise is good for you, if you wait too long after, your blood sugar will go super, super low. So once you do eat, you can feel like you're unsatisfied for the whole rest of the day. It's like playing catch up. It's difficult to catch up way after the fact and recover. So the answer for us is eat as soon as possible after working out, and definitely ideally within the hour, if not sooner. This might be like a smoothie as soon as you leave a class, or eggs when you get home. Ideally something with protein and some good fat. Yeah, and going from there.
And I think anyone who's had that feeling that Carolyn described of, sort of not being able to catch up or being a bottomless pit can definitely relate. So number three would be, how many days a week should you work out? Again, it's hard to give a one-size-fits-all answer. If a new client comes in and they're not exercising at all, we're not going to send them to spin 5 days a week. Our exercise guidelines for a person like that would be something like, in the course of a week, we want you to get moving, do 60 to 90 minutes a week. That would be, we like to give a weekly budget. We find it works well so clients can break it up however they'd like. Maybe someone is recovering from an injury. Maybe they're an exercise hater, or just, it's sort of like, the Newton's law, like bodies at rest, stay at rest. You can get very used to not doing anything.
I love that you just dropped a Newtonian law in there.
Throw it in. But the key is to set the goal and get the satisfaction of hitting it, especially when something is new to you. I see new clients like body language, shoulders relax when I suggest a goal that sounds very manageable.
Yeah.
I'd say most of our clients end up exercising 4 to 5 days a week. 4 is a great number to shoot for because you have enough days to cover, sort of cardio, weights, flexibility to really cover all your bases. And I also like it because you're doing something more days than you're not. I also think, I usually fall into this bracket. I'm a former member. There are the can't get enoughers when it comes to exercise. If someone is doing multiple doubleheader workouts a week, or you know, something in the morning and something at night. I will definitely, we both believe in a rest day is a good idea.
Absolutely.
How many days would you say you worked out?
Right now, probably 3 to 4. And mostly it is mostly yoga at the moment, but that switches back and forth between running. And yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, 3 to 4 is like my standard every other day.
Mm-hmm.
But also I really think there's this great Lena Dunham quote that exercise is more for your brain than for your ass, which I think it can really actually change your relationship to exercise when you think of it more as for your happiness than for your weight. I mean, both are nice, but something to think about.
Yeah. And I think I preface everything with like, I sound like such an old fart when as you get older. But I think again, as you sort of, as that peace of mind becomes as important as your ass, I'm flat ass. So like ass has never...
Mine has never changed no matter what I do. So
I've never had an ass call. I can't see it, whatever's happening back there. It fits into the clothes. But you know, again, you don't have to choose. You can, you know, sort of have your ass and your brain.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so the fourth question we get asked, what is more important, cardio or weights? And this is like salty or sweet. They are both important. As Lauren mentioned, if you're not doing much exercise in the course of a week, we might start you off with cardio. Cardio will give you a more immediate result. And also those endorphins are pretty nice and important. This is a really big value to sweating, especially actually with detoxing and even cancer prevention, brain health. There's so much important stuff that happens with sweating. Ultimately, though, you do need some strength work, and strength and increased muscle mass will increase your resting metabolic rate. Strength is also really, really important for your bone health. And so we suggest strength work a minimum of 2 times a week. And for me, like I mentioned earlier, this tends to fall into a yoga category. Body weight.
Yeah, it's funny when you said endorphins. I remember at some point, I really don't even know if this statistic is accurate, but I'd heard like you don't produce endorphins significantly until 30 minutes. So like I don't think I've done a cardio workout that like I might not hit 31 minutes, but yeah. I will hit the 30 minutes, whatever I have to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another question, which, you know, sort of we're a fan of is, you know, what's the deal with steps? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, everyone looks at eye rolls. Do I need the 10,000 steps a day? So this is an important one for us. There's a difference between exercise and activity, and yet they're both important. And we love tracking steps. Because it's kind of fun to challenge yourself, or at least it's fun when, like, I don't even look at it on the days where I don't think I'm doing well.
Totally.
It's fun when you're getting enough steps.
I know, we'll do the occasional challenge between us too. Yeah. Like, who can hit the most?
I'm like completely bipolar. Days where I'm like, you know, sort of a step machine, and days where it's like, how does somebody like live
and this move so little?
It's like just, you know, sort of the Uber to work days. It's not pretty. But there's also something called the physiology of inactivity. I know it sounds science. But basically, I think most people think when they're not getting steps, they're not burning calories. And this is true if we're, you know, sort of seated versus moving. But there's also when you're seated for a prolonged period of time, it's not just that you're not burning calories, it's that fat is redirected towards storage. So it's you just get more efficient at storing fat. So you're not...
Especially in one specific area, right? Especially in your butt.
Yeah, a lot of fun today.
Yeah.
So you're not burning the calories and you're also hanging on to more fat. I once saw a visual with like somebody seated at a computer like I am now, like we both are at the table now. And there were like arrows with the fat, you know, sort of going into the fat cells. And it was horrifying. It got me... stepping a little more, at least.
Sometimes you do need this traumatizing like image infographics.
Yeah, there's, I mean, we read and see so much, and there's certain things that are just imprinted on my brain. And 10,000 steps is amazing. We suggest that you try to hit that on your non-exercise days. But 6,000 is another good metric. It's about 3 miles. It's a good moderate goal that most people should be able to hit most days.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so then we have what we call active couch potato syndrome. So we see this a lot. And to be honest, I even fall into this trap sometimes where it's like, I worked out this morning, so now I'm off the hook for the rest of the day. I'll just like chill on my couch and, you know, minimal steps, like Lauren was saying, on those sorts of days. So an active couch potato is someone who does a lot of exercise, maybe even the 6 to 7 day a weeker sort of people we mentioned, but then they're very good at sitting also. And so it's really interesting with longevity research and blue zones, which is where people live to 100 or older. It's like Okinawa, Japan, and there's a place in Greece. The more that we read about exercise and longevity, we really feel like we need to emphasize stairs, actually, and elevation. So they found that 55 flights a week, which is about 8 flights of stairs per day decreased early mortality by 33%, which is a very big deal. Stair climbing is so important for bone density and also decreases that middle section weight gain. Daily movement, of course, also those great endorphins, like we mentioned earlier. So we really do want you to get your 4 days of exercise per week and your 6,000 to 10,000 steps per day and some elevation.
I mean, we can ask. It doesn't hurt. A lot of like the iPhones, it gives you flights too. So it's already doing it for you. A fact that I liked, it's Monday, my brain is working again. It was a little mushy. There was a study in Switzerland and they had people going, you know, up hills and measured a variety of different markers. And then they had the same people going downhills and they found that going downhill or down steps is actually beneficial too. So if climbing up to your apartment or going up steps is a little bit daunting, if you're, you know, in a work building or live in a building, take the steps down. It's a good way to get started. You have to like brace yourself a lot in order to do that. So it actually works your bones and joints.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to talk more about eating and exercise because I think we've skipped over the food part.
We said we were going to talk about food. So eating and exercise, a popular question, especially for afternoon and evening exercisers is, what should I eat? How much should I eat before my workout? I don't want to, you know, sort of feel poorly in my workout, but I don't want
nothing
to
worse than that.
No, but and I, for me, like I almost would rather go too long than be like burping up like lunch.
Totally.
So there's an easy rule we use with athletes. We're not calorie counters, but just a general guideline is if you have an hour before your workout, you can usually digest, depends on the calories, but you can usually digest about 100 calories. So if you're working out at 5 o'clock class or 5:30 class, you know, and it's 4:30, you can do something in the 100 calorie range. If you have a little longer, again, 2 hours would be 200 calories. And then as you get 3 hours and over, you can digest more of what would look like a meal. But if you're close to the workout, you want to be a little bit careful, too much, and it'll, you know, sort of be that sloshing around situation I mentioned. So this could be a yogurt or it could be fruit and a little bit of nut butter. There's also, I just like sort of rediscovered them. The small bars, we like the Health Warrior bars for that hour range, but there's a great local bar in New York. I know this is total non sequitur, called the Merit Bar, made by... They're so good. Actually, I, you know, full disclosure, my trainer and her husband actually make them. He's a chef. They've been making them for years. They reformulated them in a little bit. She gave me a couple before my last trip and... the ingredients are amazing. They're totally, you know, sort of transparent. They taste a little bit like fudge. I like to freeze them and then take them with me, but they're big. So you could do half of those, or if it was in the 2 hour range, you could do a whole one. I just wanted to mention
shout them out. Yeah, exactly. They're worth it. Okay. So a little bit on evening exercise, because sometimes there will be, you know, evening or days when you have no choice but to exercise at night, but exercising too close to bed can really impact your sleep. It revs you up. It gives you that second wind, as we all probably have experienced before, which can be great if you're heading out for the night or are a night owl. But it's in general, it's great to have your workout, especially a high intensity workout, finished at least 3 hours before bed. I'm a really big fan of morning workouts too, because a lot of times they just don't end up happening when you put them later in the day.
For me, the likelihood of it happening, if it doesn't happen, first thing is like 10%.
Yeah, 100%. So, yeah. I totally agree. So it really depends on what your workout of choice is, but you know, at night, if it were to be like a relaxing or a sort of yoga class, yin yoga, I love that, can be perfect for late in the day to help you wind down. But a high intensive interval training, kind of those HIIT classes or like spin classes, something intense cardio isn't always great.
Absolutely. It also gets confusing at night with like exercising at night and eating.
Yeah.
And it's like, then you're eating late. There's this whole cascade of
like
things.
Needing second or third snack.
Right, exactly. And then your sleep is messed up from the eating too, you know, further compounded. What would you say are like the pitfalls that you see?
Okay, the biggest one is clients doing things that they hate and feeling like that's like it's punishment. And so that's the number one thing I always try to help people with is find something you love
or like.
But yeah, for us, I mean, I think like running is like a drug for you. Like yoga is just like something for me, that just feels super, that feels really positive. The other thing would be a lack of variety too, doing the same thing all the time and like expecting different
results. For years,
like Soul Cycle, 5 days a week. No wonder people aren't seeing changes in their body.
Or more likely to get injured too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do like to think of like workouts as recess a little bit, like a little bit of a breather.
Yeah. And again, if you're just getting started and walking in the park is, you know, sort of what gives you a little bit of a boost, or dancing in your house, like again, think about, you know, sort of when you were younger, what you enjoyed doing. Those are usually kind of similar things at times. I would say for that, my not pet peeve, but what I see, you know, sort of harming people is doing too much too soon.
Right.
I think we get stuck on these, like, you know, I was, okay, I'm just going to say what just came into my mind.
Do it. Okay.
So I was watching Bachelor in Paradise. I watch very low level TV. It's like sort of like my candy. Sometimes the teenagers will watch with me. Okay, so that aside, there was this dude and he talked about
work. It's the best story you've ever told on a podcast.
It's not really good when I just speak off the top of my head. So there was this guy, I mean, he was like a, you know, sort of truck. And he comes in and all the guys are like, man, I won't even like try to do my dude voice. But he was like, yeah, I think he actually said, I was going to tone it down, but he said, I've been working out 4 hours. I've been lifting 4 hours a day. Oh, and my first thought, honestly, was like, oh my God, should I be working out 4 hours a day? Regardless of what I know and the fact that I'm like, you know, 45 years old and like kind of shouldn't be following this like 25-year-old on the beach. But anyway, second, I thought like, what my sons will see this and be like, oh, look, for his abs, I need to work out 4 hours a day. So that whole comparison thing never does us any favors.
Yeah, that just reminds me too of like athletes or these people on TV shows, for example, that's like what their job is.
Right.
It is kind of sad
to have 4 hours a day to work out. I will say that. But you don't need to do too much too soon. Like we said, you're doing nothing, do 30 minutes twice a week. You know, start to put it in your calendar and test out different things. It's like, you know, test driving a car a little bit. Sign up for classes or sign up for something one-on-one if you're, you know, sort of a little bit phobic of classes. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So what workouts do you do?
I was going to ask you that. So again, I think that you can track, like I really think when I was thinking about this, you can track like the stage of my life I was in based on, you know, sort of, I have like distinct memories of like in grad school, like running to do like, I'm dating myself, but step aerobics classes. And then I moved on to kickboxing. Shout out if anybody in New York did a power strike. I had my foray into spinning. I was always like much more flywheel than soul because I love, I'm just a numbers person. I did hot yoga in like a way that was like totally not beneficial to me because I was like competitive.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do the hardest, longest, hottest yoga class. Really what didn't do that much in my mind. But so I did that. I went to bar. But the constant for me has always been running. I hate the expression happy place, but I like it amazes me when, you know, even when I'm having a bad run, I'm like, I'm having a bad run, but I can run. So right now I'm running, I would say maybe two, three days a week. It depends on what kind of time I have. I love Pilates on the reformer. I didn't like it until I started doing it on the reformer. And I got, I got a teacher that it's hard. I hate when I feel like I'm wasting my time and I'm terrible doing weights on my own. Again, like kind of knowing what you're not good at. I just don't do it. I put it off. I have a trainer. I just do it once a week. We do lots of ball and BOSU stuff. And I'm actually like weirdly like liking it more lately. I think I'm appreciating being injury free, knock on wood, and feeling a little bit stronger. I think I like have retired from group fitness. I hate like the having to work around someone else's schedule. I'm around people. I'm like so rarely have that solo time that you know, sort of I crave that. You know, if there's something I'd like to add in, this is like the story of my life now. I'd love to do more tennis. I miss that, but it's not that easy.
Yeah, tennis is so hard in the city.
I mean, even in Riverside Park, we signed up and everything, but it's like, just again, a production.
Yeah. Right, 100%. Well, my favorite things right now are, I've mentioned yoga like 80 times. I do other things, I promise you. But I got into this like hot power yoga. I go to a place called Lion's Den 3 to 4 times a week. And yeah, I've been going even in the summer, which is like getting there early. And it really feels so good to really, really sweat.
It's so important. We haven't said this though, but it really is so important to sweat.
Yeah.
Like lots of workouts can do different things, but it's detoxing to sweat, preferably in a workout, but also mm-hmm. like it could be in a sauna, et cetera. Just an aside.
Yeah, no, it is really, really important. And I was prior a SoulCycle addict. I was kind of a low-key SoulCycle addict. I didn't ever like write about it on social media. I was a shy SoulCycle person.
You did a bunch.
Total front row. Like I love that. My teacher, my friend Mantis, moved to London just in time for all of the most recent political drama. Some clients with words this morning. But we will keep this podcast to food and movement.
I did do a phone session with someone who said there was like a whole brouhaha in the Watermill SoulCycle parking lot. Again, we're not gonna go there. But yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot happening here. So that is our exercise info. Please comment, share this on social media, share it with a trainer. And we should definitely say we do love and respect trainers.
Yeah, we do. And I think like the good trainers out there, we work really well with them. Sort of this is what the person is doing with exercise and we can collaborate and we love that. But I have to say, we've seen some of the like craziest food plans
and
ever.
Like the macros that they give.
Yeah. And just like the people that are, you know, more limited than we would ever put somebody, you know, even at our most strict. So we don't want to sound bitter about trainers, or maybe a little. But forward is, you know, if you think your trainer could benefit, you can forward this to them and hopefully they won't hate us.
Yeah, no. So thanks for listening. Share it, and we will see you soon.